Thank you, Barb. Thank you, Molly. Thank you, Haley. Thank you, Jalen, for the music today. We appreciate that. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be looking at several verses in the book of Proverbs today. Again, happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers. Hopefully you take an opportunity, if you're not a father, to thank your father today. In our culture, we celebrate fathers and mothers, and I read a little history this week about Mother's Day and Father's Day. I won't get into that, but biblically, I see Mother's Day and Father's Day as something that the Bible illustrates for us. The Bible tells us we are to honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is part of the Ten Commandments. That is echoed in the New Testament as well. We talked about honoring your mother over Mother's Day. And the Bible says to honor your father and mother. Honor your parents. Honor your parents. And what does that look like? During Mother's Day, we talked about how you can bring honor to your mom even if your mom isn't still alive. Moms and dads in the Bible are held to a pretty high standard. For you moms, I don't know if you've ever read Proverbs 31, but you read through that and you go, wow, that's a pretty high standard. There's a lot of things in there. God set the bar pretty high, and you go, oh, great, I'm not going to reach the bar. For those of you that like to check things off the list, you're a list maker, you go, man, I can't seem to get there. But think about dads, the example that we're set in the Bible. Who is our example that we're given? A heavenly father. If you thought Proverbs 31 was tough, think about a heavenly father. I'm never going to be omniscient. I'm never going to be omnipresent. There's some things there that I'm just never going to be able to reach, ever. And that's okay. But the Bible still gives us an example of our Heavenly Father, that we're to be seeking the characteristics that He has given us. How about your dad? How do you honor your dad? How do you bring him honor? I was thinking this week as a dad, what would bring me honor? What would help me feel honored for my kids to do? And they're young. They're 1 and 3, and they're still learning things. They're still learning activities. But what would bring me honor as I see my children grow older? We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight." The first way that you can bring honor, I believe, to your father is to listen to their words. Listen to their words. And I think this not only goes to listening to your earthly father, but listening to our heavenly father. What does he have to say? The Bible tells us in the book of James to be slow, quick to hear and slow to speak. I've heard people say God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. We're to be listening more because we have 2 ears and we're only supposed to have 1 mouth. And we're supposed to be quick to hear but slow to speak. There's a story in the Old Testament about Elijah. I don't know if you remember this story or not. It comes in 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'm going to give you kind of a synopsis of it this morning. Elijah has done lots of great things in this part of the story. He defeated the prophets of Baal, where he had them heap bucket load after bucket load of water on top of this sacrifice that he was going to offer to God. He was mocking the prophets of Baal because they spent all day trying to get their little g, God, to set their sacrifice on fire, and it wasn't happening. And Elijah's like, maybe you need to call louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he doesn't hear you. And the whole day, Elijah's mocking these prophets. And then finally, Elijah says, okay, you guys have had enough time. Now it's my time to talk to the true God. And he prays and he says, God, here I am. Spent all day listening to them, but you are the true God. Show them that you're the true God. And they bring these bucket loads of water, and they just pour it on the sacrifice, pour it on the sacrifice. And Elijah prays, and the fire comes down and just wipes out this soaking wet sacrifice. Boom, it's gone like that. I can imagine the prophets going, ah. It's kind of scary. Elijah had this great moment. The next part of the chapter, Elijah raises someone from the dead. This didn't happen very often. Another great moment. Then Elijah is talking to the King Ahab, and King Ahab takes off on his chariot. And the Bible says that the Spirit was with Elijah, and Elijah took off running, and he ran ahead of the chariot. This is the king's chariot. He doesn't have, like, the slow little moped. He's got the fastest horse with the fastest chariot because he's the king. And Elijah's out running the chariot. There's some good moments here. But we get to 1 Kings chapter 19, and what's happening? Jezebel sent after Elijah saying that I'm going to kill you. And all of a sudden, Elijah sinks into this depression, this dark place, and he says, God, I just want to die. Just wipe me out. Wait a second, the chapter before, you were doing these amazing things. But now he's like, oh God, I'm done with this. There's nobody else around that believes. What good is this going on that I have to keep going through this? Why do you keep sending me through this suffering? And so the Bible says that basically Elijah just goes and he sits down. God provides an angel that gives him food, not just once, but twice. Then it says that food carried Elijah for 40 days, and he traveled during those 40 days just trying to get away from it all. Elijah comes to this cave in the mountain of God, and the Bible tells us that he comes to this cave, and he just sits down, and God is like, God asks him this question. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Why are you here? And Elijah goes into this little history lesson for God. He's like, well, let me tell you why I'm here. He says, all these people are against me, and I'm going to be killed, and there's just nobody left. God already knew what Elijah was thinking, but Elijah had to give him a little history lesson. And so then God asks him the same question again. He says, why are you here, Elijah? Why? Elijah says, I'm the only one left. God says, you need to go out in the front of this cave. And Elijah stands there. If you remember the story, it says that God passed in front, and there was a great wind. There was a mighty wind, and it wasn't just a wind. It was breaking rocks apart. I've never seen a wind like that. But this wind was literally tearing rocks apart off of the mountain. Said that there was an earthquake. It said that there was a fire. Remember how God was in the fire just a chapter before? God came and engulfed everything. There was a fire, but God was not in the wind or the earthquake or the fire. God was not in any of those things. But then there's a little portion. It says, finally there was if you just translated it literally, it would be like there was a thin silence. Think about the things that Elijah just stood there and witnessed this wind that was tearing rocks apart and the noise that would have been there, the earthquake and the rumbling and the fire and the noise that would have been with that. And then all of a sudden there's this thin silence. There's this faint whisper. It says that God's voice was in the whisper. Listening to our Heavenly Father's words are not always easy because there are voices around us. There is noise around us constantly. Sometimes there's the wind that blows. Sometimes there's the earthquake that happens. Sometimes there's the fire that's going on. Sometimes we feel like we'd have to travel 40 days to get away from the chaos that we're experiencing, and that's where Elijah was at. But sometimes in our culture, it's so hard to listen not only to our earthly Father, but to listen to our Heavenly Father. Watch this video this morning. You got sound back there, Tom?
Another place where kind of anaconda strategy that Iran has.
The signage there to direct them, you know, to proceed.
But something has to be done because I can't have an event.
With a proven track record.
Exactly.
Right.
So I think that speaks
But I think that at the longer you are in a...
Hey, you know that!
I'm just like, get over yourself.
Any direction on what to do about the job today?
No, actually, I didn't. I don't know what the deal is. It's like God is trying to ignore me or something. Good night.
God speaks, are you listening? We find ourselves in our culture, we always need something, it seems, like a background noise. But God is speaking. Our Heavenly Father wants to talk with us, and it doesn't just mean that we need to come to Him and be talking to Him all the time, but our Heavenly Father, through this Holy Spirit, wants to talk with us as well through his word. He wants to converse with us. He wants to have a conversation. Are you listening? How are you doing at listening to your Heavenly Father's words? There's a second passage I want to look at this morning in Proverbs chapter 11, just a couple pages over, thinking about what would bring a father honor? What would honor our Heavenly Father? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them." What would be another thing that I think would honor Dad, would honor my father, would honor your fathers, would honor our Heavenly Father, would be to walk in integrity. What does integrity mean? It means that you're honest in your dealings. It means that you're upright with those around you. It means that your walk is not based on even your own rules or the rules that society has made up, but your own walk is based on God's word, based on what you find here instead of what is out there. It's driven by the word of God and your relationship you have with Him. I was thinking about the kids' song this morning. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. It goes on. Oh, be careful, little ears. Oh, be careful, little hands. Oh, be careful, little feet. Oh, be careful, little tongue. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little ears. I know I'm not doing them in any of the right order there, but I'm getting them. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Remember, fathers, our Father up above is looking down in love, but you're surrounded by some little witnesses as well. So walk in integrity, because they're watching you as well. They're watching you as well. I could reword that as, oh, be careful, Father's eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, Father's ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Be careful, little hands. Oh, be careful, little feet. Why, fathers? Because you're being watched. Kind of sounds creepy, but not in a bad way. You're being watched by your children, by those around you, and how you interact with your kids as well. Gary Slaybaugh gave me a story a couple weeks ago. Hopefully I do it justice here this morning, Gary. But there's a story of a businessman. He was the CEO of the company, and he decided he was getting older up in years, and it was time for him to move on. He decided he was going to take some of his young executives, and he brought them into his office, and he said, one of you is going to be the next CEO of this company. He said, and here's how we're going to do it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you each a seed, and you're going to take this seed home, and you're going to care for the seed, and you're going to do what you need to do with the seed, and then come back in a year, and I will judge based on what you have brought me, those plants, who's going to be the new CEO of the company. One of the young executives there, his name was Jim, and Jim got really excited, and so he took his seed, and he came home, and he talked to his wife, and he said, this is a great opportunity I have. It's a great opportunity to I have to be the CEO of this company. And so he went out, and he bought a pot, and he bought some soil, and he bought some compost, and he bought all that he needed to make a great plant. And he was careful, and he took his one seed and planted it. If you only had one shot, farmers, if you only got one shot, one seed, that was it. It'd make you a little nervous, wouldn't it? He took his one seed, and he planted it in the soil, and he cared for it, and he watered it, and he waited. And he watered it, and he waited, and it began to be during the office time, others started talking about the plants that they were growing. Some were growing these great plants, and Jim's plant, his pot, remained empty. Jim continued to water and care and thought maybe there was something he did wrong, but as the months went forward, he began to get discouraged because his pot remained empty while everybody else, all the other young executives, boasted about the luscious foliage that were on their plants, the greenery that was happening. The year came, and it was time now to bring all of the plants, the little seed that once was, now everybody was bringing their plants into this office. And Jim brought his empty pot. He tried to hide in the back because he was kind of worried that he was the only one that brought nothing. The CEO of the company stood up and he said, well, one of you today is going to become the next CEO. One of you today, I've looked around, I've seen that one of you today is going to become the next CEO. And then he called Jim forward. He said, everybody else, you can have a seat. He said, Jim, what? Tell me about what happened. Jim was nervous. He was afraid he was going to get fired at this point because what he had brought was very subpar compared to the rest of the plants. that were in the room. Jim said, well, I took the one seed home that you gave me. I bought this pot, and I bought this dirt, and I brought this fertilizer, and I planted the seed, and I watered. And I planted, and I watered it, and I waited, and I tried to care for it. I made sure it got sunlight like it was supposed to, but nothing happened. The CEO said, did you look around? Do you see the rest of these plants here? And Jim said, yeah, I see that they grew some grape plants. And he said, I'm sorry for what I brought you today. CEO asked all the other executives, he said, well, I want you to know, he said, Jim is going to be the next CEO. And he said, let me tell you why. He said, the seeds I gave all of you a year ago were dead seeds. I had boiled them all. They weren't going to do a thing. So he said, I'm not sure what plants you guys brought in here, but they weren't anything to do with the seeds that I gave to you. He said, I waited to see and I heard the discussions of the people having great plants, but Jim was honest in his dealings. Jim had integrity in what he did, and Jim didn't lie. Jim just brought in here what I had given him. So he said, I'd like you to meet the new CEO of our company, Jim. The other men looked on and they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that's how the CEO was going to choose the next leader for the company. The book of Proverbs says this, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Blessed are his children after him. Think of the example that Jim was to his family. The example that Jim was to the other executives, the example that Jim was to the rest of the people in the company, because he was a man who walked in integrity. Blessed are his children after him. Why? Because be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. And be careful, little eyes, what you see. Because in all of those things, we have an opportunity to live in integrity or to not live in integrity. So, do I walk in integrity? Do I walk in integrity? Final verse. Turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. In order to honor our father, we need to listen to their words. We need to walk in integrity. And then finally, I think it involves accepting loving discipline. Accept loving discipline. It says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father does the son in whom he delights. The New Living Translation says that last part says, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Our father disciplines us because he loves us. If we're sensing discipline from God, it means we're his children. It means that he loves us so much that he's willing to correct us. He wants us to grow. Discipline improves character of a person and helps develop them. Discipline is not focused on the present. It's focused on the future. Discipline focuses on what is this child going to be like in 10 years. If we let this pattern continue, I was on the phone with my mom yesterday, I guess. We were talking. Ellie's been having a hard time going to bed at night. She's been getting up. She gets up, and then she goes back to bed. And she gets up, and then she goes back to bed. And we've been trying to figure out how to discipline her appropriately. I was talking to my mom, and she reminded me that she had struggles with my sister, and my sister, who's now has four kids, some of them she had troubles with, the same thing over and over. But I made this comment to my mom: I sure hope Ellie's not 15 and still getting out of bed and not going to sleep at night. That would never happen, right? Those of you with teenagers. But we figure out how to do loving discipline because we're not thinking about the here and now. We're thinking about their character in 5 years from now. We're thinking about their character in 10 years from now. We're thinking about their character in 20 years from now. Are they going to have character that is true to what God's word says? And so we try to discipline them in order to bring them up in what God's word says. In the book of Hebrews, this is fairly long, but it's a good passage that talks about discipline. It says, "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons." He's treating you as his children. For what child, what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. The writer of Hebrews is saying, if you're not being disciplined, then you must not be God's child. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they, the earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. What is the whole purpose of God's discipline? It's to make us more righteous. It's for us to grow that fruit in our life. We talked about God is the one who does the growth in the plant. We're the ones to seed, but God is the one to do the growth. And one of those fruit that we can yield is righteousness. It's holiness. It's not giving in to sin anymore, but it's saying no to sin. And that's one of the things that God's discipline leads us towards in our lives. God's plan is not to discipline just to bring us pain, but God is looking further down the road and saying, I want you to be more righteous, so I'm going to put this in your path now. I know you're stumbling right now in this, but I'm going to provide for you a way out of it. And you're going to grow in that, and you're going to get stronger so that when this comes later on, when you're faced by this temptation later on, when you're faced with this struggle later on, you've grown. You've become more righteous. You've become trained by God, and you will endure. There are times when a father's words can bring about change that's necessary. Sometimes it just takes what we talked about, the first point, just listening to him. But maybe you've heard some of these common fatherly phrases in your lifetime. Maybe your dad said them, or maybe your husband sitting next to you has said them at some point. A phrase like, as long as you live under my roof, you will do as I say. Some of you are laughing. Apparently you've heard that one. Or, because I said so. Because I said so. When I was your age, I heard a few of those in my time. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. You guys are good at these. You must have heard them at some point. I'm not going to tell you again. Or there's a famous one, I brought you into this world. I can take you out of this world. Things fathers say. We were in the parking lot, I think it was, might have been last week or sometime. And Ellie was just kind of going crazy. And we were just kind of, I was getting ready to go, putting it in drive. And I said this phrase, don't make me pull this car over. Stacy was like, the car's already pulled over. I was like, yeah, but that's what dads are supposed to say, right? That's the phrase. It's supposed to inflict fear, right? Maybe those words at some point caused you to be disciplined. You know, okay, I don't want to see what really happens when dad pulls the car over. I don't really know what because I said so means, but I better just do it because I know that if I don't, I'm going to be in trouble. Maybe those phrases corrected you. Maybe they caused some fear of your earthly father to be in you, but God is our heavenly Father, and he says, you need to be doing this, and a lot of times we're busy not listening. We're busy ignoring his correction, just saying, why are things so hard in this life? Why am I having such a rough time? I just don't get it. Maybe God is disciplining you. Maybe you're missing God's discipline. Maybe you're not accepting God's discipline in your life to bring you, to help you to become more righteous like him. So how am I accepting God's loving discipline in my life? Am I able to recognize it when it happens? Or am I ignoring it? Am I ignoring the circumstances and going, man, things are just really rough right now. I don't have a clue what's going on. Wait a second. Maybe it's God's discipline in your life. Maybe there's something that God is trying to correct, a thing that he's trying to grow in you so that you can become more righteous. Maybe you need to confess that and repent of that and turn around and not do that thing anymore, to walk away from that. Do you recognize when God is disciplining you? To summarize, through listening, walking in integrity, and accepting loving discipline, our Heavenly Father will help us become more like his Son. How do we please our earthly fathers? How do we please our heavenly Father? I think it's part of this list. I think it's listening to him, following what he tells us to do, walking in integrity, and accepting the loving discipline that he gives to us. Even though at the time the writer of Hebrews said, at the time it seems painful, but God's not giving it to us to cause pain. He's giving it to us so that we might become more righteous, so that we might become more like his Son. Let's pray. Father, God, I thank you that you paid the ultimate price so that we could become your children. And now as our earthly fathers discipline us, you discipline us at times as well. Father, help us to listen to you. Father, that we might spend time not in the chaos of the world or the catastrophes of the day, but that we might spend time listening to you. That we would walk in integrity. That God, you would correct us when we try to tell lies, when we try to say things that are not true. God, that your discipline would correct the things that are not true, the things that are not lovely, the things that are not noble, the things that are not good, Father, so that we could do things that are honorable to you. Father, make it clear to us when you try to discipline us. Help us as your children so that we can become more righteous and walk the path that you have set out for us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.